Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our series of studies, Living Evidences of God, or the Evidences of the Living God in Our Lives. Today we wish to consider the subject, a living sacrifice, and we will be turning to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 1. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. Here is Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Now you remember that our theme verse for this series of studies has been 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where we read, His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us unto glory and virtue. All the things that pertain to life. Now, how did we get it? It's His divine power working out in us. And here we read, as we have already read, verse 1, and I should read verse 2 with it. Let's read the verses together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you and I have that responsibility. We've noticed before in the studies that Christ lives His life out through us. That life is within us. We receive that life when the Spirit of God used His power to bring us into the family of God. In other words, when we were born again. The life of Christ was put within us. We see that in Galatians 2:20 in the most remarkable way. We've quoted it before, where the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, God wants to live out His life through us. And I can't think of a sweeter and more persuasive evidence of a living God than to see His life come out through living people, living for Him, not following the desires of the flesh, not given over to the pleasures of this world. But here, as we read in our text verse, theme verse today, at least, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, it's the soul and the spirit that presents the bodies. I think of the Apostle Paul in the 9th chapter of the 1 Corinthian epistle we read there, beginning of verse 24, Know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, the athlete does it, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And I think probably Paul is thinking of the Olympics, because in Achaia, in Greece, there was a great athletic ability among their people. And we read there, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body to bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now notice, please, what Paul is saying. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. My soul and my spirit is the boss of my body. My soul and my spirit tells my body what to do. Now Paul says, I'm going to train. I'm going to expend energy to go on for God. And I'm going to discipline myself. I think we need that as among Christians. We need the art of discipline. Disciplining our lives to live for God And the Apostle Paul says, now, they do it, the athlete does it, to do it, he does it, to obtain a corruptible crown. But we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown, an eternal crown. Now, this takes discipline. And in Romans 12 and 1, it takes discipline. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And let me tell you, if you want to test the metal that's in you, live for Christ. I think we're too lackadaisical as Christians. I think we take it too easy. God has done so much for us. We're content with what He's done for us. How about what we're doing for Him? Are we giving back to Him? He made a sacrifice for us. How did He do it? He gave His body. He gave His body to die on that cross for your sins and for my sins and for the sins of a guilty world. And while He was on that cross, God reckoned all our sins, imputed all our sins to Christ, and He died for them, and yours and mine. And here He gave His body to give me life. And now, is it a thing to be grasped after? Is it a thing to be stumbled over? If I give my body and live for Him, He gave His body to die for me. I can certainly give my body to live for Him. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, there is a real connection here between verse 1 of Romans chapter 12 and the 11th chapter of Romans. He says, I beseech you, therefore, because of this. I like to substitute the words because of this when we come across the wherefores and the therefores in the Scripture. And it has been well said, when you come across the word therefore in the Scripture, be sure that you determine what it's there for. Going on. I beseech you, therefore, because of this. Because of what? Well, the 11th chapter. Israel has been displaced. Israel was the natural olive branches that were torn out, taken out of the good olive tree, and the Gentiles were grafted in Israel's place. Notice, please, as Paul puts it in verse 13 of chapter 11, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If I, by any means, I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting of the way be of them, the reconciling of the world, what shall receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now notice, please. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, a wild olive tree, a Gentile, not in a covenant relationship with God, no covenant connection with God, just a sinner saved by grace. If I, a Gentile, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. The root and the fatness of the olive tree. The olive tree is the purposes of God. And He has placed us in the place of Israel. Israel rejected our Lord Jesus Christ. And then God turned to the Gentiles. We see that in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. God, through the Apostle Paul, sought to win His people back for Himself, but they refused Him. They turned Him down. They ran Him out of the city, so to speak. Paul says, now, since you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And God is giving the Gentiles a chance now to glorify His name. But what I'm leading up to is this. Israel offered offerings to the Lord. They were commanded to do so. In some instances, they had the privilege of offering those offerings of their own free will. But other times, demands were made on them. Now, they offered their offerings to the Lord. They were animals. When the Israelites sinned, He had to bring a little lamb or a goat or perhaps a bullock to the Lord, and he put his hand on the head of that bullock as he brought him to the tabernacle of the congregation or to the temple, and he put his hand on the head of that little animal as if to say, this little animal is dying in my stead. I have sinned against God, but the animal is my sacrifice that I bring to die for me. Well, now, that was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and for me. And when he did that, he is said to have received the atonement. Now, the word atonement there, kaphar, means to be covered. The sins were covered over. The Israelites' sins were covered over. They weren't put away by those little animals. Paul says in the Hebrew epistle, the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. An immoral animal can't die for a moral man, but a moral man, Christ Jesus, could die for you and for me. And they offered their sacrifices to God because they thought it pleased God and because God demanded it too. Now you and I are in their place. Israel as a nation, at least, is not going on for God today. Now that doesn't mean that God isn't saving Jewish people. The church is composed both of Jew and Gentile, and let us never think he has cut them off entirely. There's a remnant that is trusting Christ today. Thank God for that. Now, they were saved ahead of time. Their sins were covered over until Christ could come and take them away. They were saved on credit. They got the benefit before the price was paid, but Christ paid the price. And he paid the price for you and for me. We look back to the cross. Their sacrifices led them to look forward to the cross. Now you and I have the privilege of offering our sacrifice to God. What is it? Our body. A living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, because of this, because you're in Israel's place, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now you and I can live for God. And that is our privilege, to live for God. Let that life be a living testimony, if you please, to the reality of Christ within us. And don't you think that people won't take notice? The living testimony is better than just the lips of the mouth. Let our lives be lived for Christ. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for giving that blessed person to die for us on that cross. Help us to live for him. In Christ's name, amen.